الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد الحمد لله. This is now day 3 of our study this Ramadan of Kitab al-Riqaq within Sahih al-Bukhari. And yesterday we covered chapter 27, which was a very brief chapter. And today, inshallah, we cover chapter 28, maybe 29. These are very short chapters. Chapter 28 within Kitab al-Riqaq in Sahih al-Bukhari is titled Babun Hujibat an-Naru bish-Shahawat. And we see very often that Imam al-Bukhari gives the chapter name based on the hadith that he's citing. So he says, chapter on the fact that the hellfire is surrounded by shahawat. Shahawat are desires. Now, in Islamic spirituality, the hadith terms that describe shahawat or desires, there's actually two terms. There's shahawat and there are ahwa. And some of the ulama refer to them as shahawat and shubuhat. Shahawat, we would translate as carnal desires, because shahawat usually refers to the desires of the carnal self, you know, your appetites. So if you hear the word shahwa in the Islamic context, usually it's referring primarily to two desires, shahwatul batn wa shahwatul farj, the desires of the stomach and the desires of the private parts. But there are other shahawat as well, because there are other shahawat that pertain to the avenues by which those shahawat are built up, such as the eyes or the ears and so on. So this chapter is just one hadith. Imam al-Bukhari says, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي مَالِكُ عَنْ أَبِي الزِّنَادِ عَنِ الْأَعْرَجِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. And this is from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and he relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the hellfire has been surrounded by all kinds of desires or passions, while paradise has been surrounded by all kinds of disliked or undesirable things. He just gives us this hadith for the chapter, but we have another hadith which gives us some context to what this means in more detail. And this is the hadith recorded also by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, but recorded in Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim, and others, in which... in which Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah Ta'ala created paradise and created hell, he sent Jibreel to Jannah and he said, look at Jannah, gaze upon Jannah. And he went back and said, by your honor, no one will hear of this Jannah except that they will enter it. And if you hear about it and you truly believe in it, it's inescapable. You're going to seek Allah's pleasure and try to get there. And then Allah Ta'ala ordered that it be surrounded by makarih, disliked things. And then he said, go back and look at it. And he looked at it and he said, by your honor, no one will find these things surrounding it except that they will not be able to enter it. And then he said, go and look at the fire. And then Jibreel alayhi salam went and gazed at the fire and came back and said, by your honor, no one will hear of the hellfire and enter it after hearing about it. And then Allah ordered that hellfire be surrounded by shahawat, by desires and passions. And he said to Jibreel, go back and look at it. He goes back and looks at hellfire and says, by your honor, I am afraid that no one will be safe from it. So there's something here. The hadith says that that Jannah has been surrounded by passions. Huffat here means literally surrounded. Meaning in the path to Jannah, there is this barrier you have to deal with. There is this impediment, this difficult thing you have to surmount and deal with. That is the passions. And the same thing goes for hell. Hell has been surrounded by passions, right? And Jannah has been surrounded by makarih. What does he mean, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by makarih? It says disliked things. And what is meant is things that require steadfastness, things that require patience, things that require some effort. Now, things that require patience, steadfastness, and effort aren't literally hated things, right? No, they're not literally hated. And so the reason why he calls them makarih is not because they're literally hated, but because those things are not appealing to the ego, right? Things that you have to endure through life, you know? Struggling against your lower passions, struggling with your temper, struggling with your anger problems, struggling with your desires, struggling with your greed, struggling with your jealousy, struggling with all sorts of things that each person has been given their lot of struggles. Those are the things that surround Jannah, meaning you have to overcome those in the path to Jannah. Now, Shaykh Muhammad al-Qandusi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that while this is a reality, that Jannah has been surrounded by these makarih, these dislike things, and hellfire has been surrounded by passions, he says, while this is a reality, he says that reality will become even more apparent as we get closer and closer to the end of time. He says that this really manifests in a very clear way during the time of Dajjal. Because the Dajjal, what is he bringing? Right? He's bringing promises of salvation, promises of justice, promises of worldly things and good things of life. But what exactly is behind all of those promises? Hell. Right? So Sheikh Muhammad Qaddusi says that towards the end of time, when the Dajjal appears, this hadith will become an even more vivid reality for the believers, that if you're going to overcome Dajjal and his plots, you're going to have to endure some difficult things. And if you want to take the easy way out and follow him, well, that will be easy because he'll promise you so many things, right? He'll have so many things at his disposal. That's the easy way. But what's behind those things? What's on the other side? Hell. And if you're opposing Dajjal, what's on the other side of Jannah are all those difficult things that are set up in the end of time. Next chapter, two very brief hadith. The next chapter is very similar to this one. This is chapter 29. Bab al-Jannah aqrabu ila ahadikum min shiraki na'alihi wa an-naru mithlu dhalik. The chapter on the fact that Jannah is closer to one of you than the strap of his sandal, and the hellfire is also just as close. Very similar. He narrates, حدثنا موسى ابن مسعود حدثنا سفيان عن منصور والأعمش عن أبي وائل عن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجنة أقرب إلى أحدكم من شراك نعلي والنار مثل ذلك. The hadith of Abdullah Ibn Amr, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, paradise is closer to one of you than his sandal strap, and the hellfire is the same, just as close. The next narration, same thing. حدثني محمد ابن المثنى حدثنا غندر حدثنا شعبة عن عبد الملك ابن عمير عن أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أصدق بيت قاله الشاعر ألا كل شيء ما خرى الله باطل. He narrates, this is from Abu Huraira, who relates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the truest statement a poet ever said was the line said by the poet Labid, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلٌ. Indeed, everything except Allah is batil, meaning ephemeral, ever fading, perishing. It's just perishable. So in the first hadith, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes how Jannah is closer to one of us than a sandal strap. What is a sandal strap? Obviously, we know what that is. The sandal strap is what goes over the foot to help you so that you can keep them on your feet as you're walking. And sandals are the means of walking. According to Ibn Battal, quoted by Ibn Hajar, who comments on this hadith, he mentions that the reason why the sandal strap is mentioned in this description or this analogy is that it shows that the means to Jannah, the means to journeying to Jannah, it's like walking, right? And the means is obedience to Allah Ta'ala. And the means of landing in hell is by walking to hell by disobeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Both of these can be very easy because you have the sandals on, right? You have the footwear. It just depends on where you go. Are you going to walk in this direction or walk in that direction? And here there's a kind of analogy that you have this easy means of walking, which is wearing sandals. So you can quickly walk across rough terrain. The question is, which direction do you go, right? So either way, it's easy. You know, you can go to Jannah or you can go to hell. They're that close to you. Ibn Hajar says that this means that one should not neglect the small righteous actions, or they should not belittle or make small those seemingly small bad deeds. And Ibn al-Jawzi says that this means that it's attaining Jannah is easy when a person corrects their niyyah and commits to obeying Allah Ta'ala. Just like hell is easy if a person is following their desires and committing acts of obedience. This is the reality. The second hadith is very interesting how Imam al-Bukhari puts certain narrations in certain chapters. And there's a wisdom behind it. Sometimes it's very, very subtle. Notice that in the second hadith, he quotes, this is the hadith of Abu Huraira, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the truest statement ever made by a poet was the statement of Labid. Labid was a Jahili poet from the pre-Islamic era. And he says, the truest words ever said by a poet were those lines, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلٌ. Indeed, everything other than Allah is batil. You know, batil we think of as false, but here it means ephemeral, passing, perishable, and so on. Now, according to the scholars, that statement is what we would call عام مخصوص, meaning it's a general statement, but it's actually qualified. This is an important point, right? There's مخصصات. There's things that qualify general statements in the Quran and the Sunnah, right? I'll give you an easy example. When we talk about fiqh and law, there's lots of ayat and hadith which in their wording are عام. They're general. They're all-encompassing. But you know they're not actually all-encompassing. And what makes them qualified is a number of possible things. An example of this is in the story of Ad and Thamud. When Ad and Thamud were destroyed, what did Allah Ta'ala say about them? Allah says about them, فَدَمَّرَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And everything was demolished. So, kul means all, everything. كل شيء, everything. من ألفاظ العموم, that's a general statement. Does that mean that the entire universe was destroyed? No. Right. Obviously not. Allah Ta'ala is using a general statement. Everything was destroyed. But we know it wasn't literally everything in the universe. It's talking about the people of Ad and Thamud, particular to them. So that's a general statement, but it's qualified by our own aql. Like, we know that it wasn't literally everything in the universe, it's only them. Likewise, the ulama say that this statement is also general, but it is qualified. Because if something draws you near to Allah Ta'ala, such as your own acts of worship, that action is a creation, isn't it? That action is other than Allah. So would you say that it's batil? No. So it is a general statement, but it's makhsus. It is qualified. So if it's something that served as a means of drawing you near to Allah Ta'ala, then that's not batil. That endures. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ Allah Ta'ala describes them as the enduring righteous actions. Now the question here on which we end is, why does Imam Bukhari put this hadith here? Because the chapter is about how Jannah is closer to one of you than your sandal strap and how the hellfire is just as close. What's the relevance between the chapter title and this hadith, which cites the poetry that says, everything other than Allah is false or fading? According to Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the relevance of this hadith to the chapter is very subtle. He says, because the first hadith is encouraging obedience even if it's small, and discouraging disobedience even if it's small, because it says that Jannah is closer to one of you than your sandal strap, and the hellfire as well. He says, a person who ignores the small good deeds and who belittles the small bad deeds only does so because they are desiring something of the world. They're distracted by the glitter of the world around them. If they weren't distracted by the dunya and all of its glitter and glam, they would not belittle the small good deeds, and they would not belittle the small bad deeds either. So because of this, he puts this hadith here, explaining that, well, that dunya that's distracting you and making you belittle the small good deeds and belittle the small bad deeds, that dunya, it's not just saghir, it's not just paltry and minuscule, it's actually batil, it's actually false and utterly perishable. It totally fades away. So if you're intelligent, you're not going to prefer al-fani, that which is perishing, over what is baqi, over what is enduring. So that is the relationship between this hadith and the chapter heading about Jannah being closer to you than your sandal strap and the hellfire as well. And inshallah, we will end here and do chapter 30 tomorrow, bi'idhnillah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.